Can I have all y'all stand up? Happy Sunday. Happy Sunday. Everybody's doing good today? If you are not doing good, just raise your hand so we can pray for you. God bless you. Oh, look at all the people. Okay. If you're not doing good, raise your hand. Okay, God, I know we do this all the time. Lord, I pray for all those people whose hands are up. I pray that you'd bless them, affirm that you see them, that you have a plan for whatever they're going through. You have a plan, and you will walk with them through the valley of the shadow of death. It's the shadow of death. It's not death. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Let's give it a hand. Let's get some breathing in. Amen. Let's get some breathing in. If you don't know what I'm talking about, just lift your hands up really high. And what we're doing is we're expanding our lungs. We're going to take a deep breath. We're going to take three inhales before you exhale. Okay, ready, go. Okay, so just so you know, don't panic, okay? It's only 10 seconds. You're not gonna die. Your brain won't let you die. It's impossible for you to kill yourself doing this, okay? You may pass out, but you'll get up, you'll be fine, okay? three inhales and hold it. Ready, go? Y'all are tripping. There are people like, Lord, thank you. Amen. Give someone a high five. Hey. Turn to Malachi chapter 3. Malachi. My wife and I have been married. We've been together 45 years. We've been married 41 years. And the 4 years between the time we met and the time we actually married were kind of on and off. She was straight tripping. I was tripping. So, but there was 4 years, you know, blah, 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 without Jesus. If you don't have Jesus in your relationship, I don't know how you're going to make it. Trust me, God will make your relationship way better than you could ever do it without him. So we got married 41 years ago. And in those 41 years, when I said I do as your husband, I also said I do to providing for her, protecting her, affirming her, encouraging her, etc. Can I get amen? Amen. Fellas, that's your job. You don't get any credit for that, extra credit. That's just the role, is that you have to do that with your wife. And ladies, if you're with a guy that don't do it now, pause. Believe what you see, address it. If it don't change, that's not your guy. Because it's just going to continue into your marriage and you're going to have a mess. And all your friends are going to say, you knew it before you married him. Why did you marry him? So protect, provide, love your wife as Christ loved the church, which means to lay down your life for your wife. And so hopefully I do that on a consistent basis. That's the basic role, responsibility. On top of that, we have anniversaries, birthdays, Valentine's Day, special days where I'll put a little hot sauce on something, right? We'll go someplace, we'll do something special, have dinner, you know, a card, a rose, a gift. She's not a big jewelry person, so I don't do jewelry because she doesn't really want any jewelry. I don't wear jewelry at all. So this ring is not even jewelry, it's rubber. You know, I don't have any jewelry, those special days, there's a little hot sauce. Now, on the day-to-day responsibility, that's your day-to-day responsibility based on the role as husband. But then the special days are the extra I love you day. I want to say your special day. We're in a series called Heart for Your House. And next week, we're going to take a special offering. Today, we're going to talk about what an offering is. But the difference between an offering and a tithe is that your tithe is like the everyday loving your spouse. And the offering is those special days, the anniversary, the birthday, the little extra something, something. And so today, we're going to talk about offering. 2 weeks ago, we started a series, and we talked about tithing. And tithing, we talked about in the Bible, before the Old Testament law, Abraham tithed, gave a tenth part to Melchizedek, Jacob, his grandson, promised a tenth part of what he got. That's where we get tithe. So tithing, us giving 10%, runs the operation of whatever ministry it is. In the Old Testament, it was the operation of the tabernacle or the temple. It supplied the resources for running the ministry. And then offerings were special over and above occasions where they took an extra free will offering of saying, Lord, we want to invest in this project. So we are going to do that next week. We're going to take a special offering over and above tithe. And so I want you to understand the differences between these things and then say, Lord, I am going to give according to what your word says. I'm not giving just because they asked for it. I'm not giving because I was told I'm supposed to do this. But I want to understand what the word says. So 2 weeks ago, we talked about tithe. Please get the sermon. You can listen to it. Read the Bible verses. Last week, we talked about first fruits that you should give of your first. That we give God first because we put God first. We give God first because if the tithe is blessed, then the lump, the rest of it is blessed. And so we talked about that last week. Please go get the sermon right online and watch it and learn. Today, we're going to talk about the difference between your tithe and your offering. Now, before I get into that, let me talk about where the money is going, because your tithe goes to running the lights, the staff, and all the operations, the rent. We have 6 buildings, 5 in San Diego, 1 in Hawaii. All those expenses paid for by the tithe and all the what they call capital expenditures, like this light wall back here and the lights that when they go out, we got to pay for them and they're expensive. So tithe pays for all of that. And then the offering goes to special projects. So here's some of them that we're going to be talking about that we're going to give to. Number one is do something. Ministry to different nations, military heroes, Toys for Joy, city cleanups, food distributions, global missions. As you know, we gave food out just last week, I believe it was. Global missions, crisis response. There's always something going on all around the world. We can't respond to every single one of them, but it would be nice to respond when there's a need. And then next gen revival. I'm gonna say revival. Before I get into this list, I want to challenge you to ask God to show you spiritually, that open your eyes, not that your eyes are closed, but that you, God, show me the state of the world. And what I mean by that is we can go about our business as Christians thinking, I go to work, I get a job, and you know, I got a bank account, and I'm just going to live, work, retire, and everything's going to be fine because I live in America, and I can be able to just have free speech. Our country and world is changing. Our country and world is changing very fast. It's changing at the speed of light, literally, with AI, with Islam spreading throughout the country. I'm gonna do a whole series on Islam. I know I talk about it here and there, but it is incredibly serious. And we as believers can't assume that the freedoms we have today will always be there. I wanna challenge you to press into your relationship with God, because my fear is that a lot of Christians in the world, but especially in Estados Unidos, in the United States, are gonna wake up and go, what happened to my freedom? What happened to me being able to talk about Jesus? And you're gonna not be prepared. And you're gonna bow down to whatever idol comes, the idols that are now being erected by society. And so I wanna encourage you, as we talk about evangelism, you're like, oh, that's Miles' thing. Let me tell you something, it's gotta be all our thing. There's a Bible verse that says, Lord, I did miracles in your name. I preached the gospel in your name. I cast out demons. I prophesied. These are pastors saying this and non-pastors as well, but definitely pastors that are gonna say that when they die. I did all this ministry in your name, and God is going to say to them, I never knew you. Can you imagine? Now, do I fear? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So I had a respectful fear that I would be that person. Oh, for sure. I don't think I am. I think me and God are good. And I think I know. But I ain't taking no chances. Right? I don't want you to take a chance. So when we talk about investing in evangelism, and this is not necessarily trying to get your money as much as you believing in this calling on our church, is to invest in evangelism and talking to people about Jesus who don't know him. Because Christianity, Christians can get saved, come to church, and hide in church and be all comfortable and, you know, be behind the scenes and not put themselves out there. Those days got to be over, because God is going to say, I never knew you. You gave your life to me, but you never lived it. You are ashamed to even talk about me in front of people. And so I don't want us to be that, and God forbid, and I don't really fear this at all, but God forbid some of y'all die, and I don't know if this is gonna happen. I don't know how heaven's gonna, how it's gonna be when we go to heaven, how we're gonna be greeted. You know, I don't know if it's gonna be like, oh, what's your name? Oh, let me look on the list. I don't know how it's gonna work. But I would hate for it to be like, yo, man, my name is Julio, man, I went to the Rock. He's gonna be like, huh? That's not a qualification. Well, I said, who's the man, Jesus? That's not a qualification. You know what I'm saying? I told you this story many times before. A friend of mine, he was my son's Pop Warner coach. He used to always say, hey, I used to always witness to him. We'd be coaching. My son was 10, 11, and I'm on the field witnessing to this guy, saying, yo, man, you gotta die. You're gonna go to hell. You gotta get saved. And then I would call a play, and for the little kids, Pop Warner, and then I would tell him, yeah, he's gonna go to hell. So we went through this the whole season, right? It was a friendly conversation, but I was dead serious. It's like, you can't play around with this. He's like, yo, man, I'm just gonna tell him I know Miles McPherson. I was like, bro, you better not say my name. So I know we kid around, and I did say that. That's true, and I'm told that many times. I know we have a lot of fun here, but please don't take my humor for levity, for not being serious. I am dead serious. There's people who are gonna have come to this church that are gonna go to hell because you didn't take serious what the word says. So I just don't want you to miss that. And if anything, I'm saying this so I'm clear. So God don't say, you never told him. Bro, Lord, I. I can see God in the strong going, hey, it wasn't bro. Bro. You know, I hear God call people God, dude, and all. Hey, bro, don't do that. So let me go back to the list. Just One San Diego, it's all relevant. Evangelism, equipping, there you go. Rally nights, Rock Kids Camp, expanding youth impact, Future San Diego. Let me tell you, all that is youth evangelism and getting the word out and evangelism in general. We gotta go after all those people who don't know Jesus. So you got tithe, you got first fruits, you got offering. Your tithe honors God's ownership, but your offering expresses a partnership with God. Three things about offering I want to drill home today, and then I'm going to tell you about that envelope you got when you walked in. Number one, the tithe is required. The offering is relational. Now, the first sermon I talked about 2 weeks ago that you don't have to tithe. You don't even have to ask Jesus to be your Savior. Now, you won't go to heaven, but you don't have to do it. And what I mean by that is everything God wants you to do because you willingly do. Okay, I don't have to be faithful in my marriage. I just won't have a marriage. And so you have to understand when you obey God, there's a blessing associated with it every time. And the blessing is that you become more like Jesus in the minimum. And so when it says required, God says, okay, here's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna give you, bless you, and I'm gonna prescribe to you what I want you to give back to me, and it's a tenth. It's not whatever you want, it's a tenth. That's what I mean by required. I want you to imagine you go to a restaurant and you eat your food and you get a bill. You don't sit there and unless the bill's wrong, but if it's, you know, I got three hamburgers, fries, two shakes, you know, donut, whatever it is, and it's on the receipt, you pay the receipt. Can I get an amen? Because it's not a negotiation. It is what it is. That's the tithe. God says, this is what it is. I don't want to argue. I don't want to talk about it. This is what I want everybody to do, a percentage of what they got. And it don't belong to you. We're going to see that in a minute. And we talked about that last week. But when you get the bill, now you got to decide how much to tip. That's the offering. It's optional. Now, if you got a waitress that comes and she says, oh, how you doing? And she got your order correct the first time. She knows all the gluten-free options, the sugar-free options, the sourdough, do they make it, you know, is it fried or baked? And, you know, does it have soy? And she's got it all down. And she comes back, make sure it's coming in 5 minutes. It comes in 5 minutes. It's hot. She comes back, check if there's anything she missed. And you're like, we'll give her a great tip. I mean, sometimes you meet a waitress and you're already the tipper from just even before she takes the order. Because she's just on it. Y'all know what I'm saying? That's a relational thing. But then you got that other waitress. What y'all want? I get off in 5 minutes. Can y'all hurry up? And you start ordering, she's like, nah, that's gonna take too long. And she got attitude, she gets the order wrong, or she's sucking her teeth, you know, and you ain't getting a tip. We're gonna tip you a dollar, okay? That's the offering. That's the difference between the tithe and the offering. The tithe is, hey, this is what it is, what it is. The offering says, listen, me and you are gonna talk. For you, I want you to do something special. For you, I know you're struggling, I want you to do this. It's very different than the tithe. Malachi 3:10, tithe measures obedience. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse and test me, says the Lord. He says, bring the tithe. That's something that we don't, I've been tithing, it's automatic for 41 years. Well, I got automatic when they got the electronic thing, so that was in 41 years. But I've been tithing for 41 years, and God is faithful. Now it's just an automatic debit from my account. I don't even want to talk about it. It's done, it's gone. Me and God, we're good. And then the offering, okay, God, me and my wife will talk. What do we want to do this year? That's a different thing. Those are two very different offerings. In Exodus chapter 35, this is the offering. The offering measures your affection to God. Exodus 35:5, they were building the tabernacle. 2 million Jews went through the Exodus out of Egypt. God sent 10 miracles on Egypt to get the Pharaoh to let the people go. He was hard-headed, so God kept sending plagues on him, lice, darkness, frogs, blood, all this stuff. And then he finally said, let him go. And right before, this is hilarious to me. If you read the Bible, you gotta read it kinda, just read it slow and ask God to reveal the funny stuff. This to me is funny. He says, all you Jews, you've been slaves for 400 years. I'm setting you free. Pharaoh's gonna let you go. But before you go, go take all the gold and silver. That's right. So they start taking all the gold and silver from the Egyptians. Why is this funny? Because they're walking out in the wilderness in the desert and they ain't got nowhere to spend it. No, for real, think about it. They're lugging all these wealthy things that they saw they could never have. And they're lugging around and go, where are we gonna spend? We're out in the desert. We just want water. We just want a shade, it's hot. And then God said, you know that gold and silver and all those precious animal skins that you got that you don't need? I need it to build my building. And they built the tabernacle with it. A lot of stuff you have, God didn't give for you. He gave it for him. So Exodus 35:5, take from among you an offering. Whoever is willing, with a willing heart, let him bring it as an offering. Everyone say willing. Willing. Your tithe must be willing. Obviously, you need to be willing to give it your tithe, your offering must be willing. Even though you must have a willing heart for both, this one is discretional. Exodus 35:29, the children of Israel brought a free will offering to the Lord, all the men and the women whose hearts were willing. Say willing. Willing. You have to say, Lord, I want a willing heart. Tithe measures obedience, offering measures affection. Number two, tithe returns what belongs to God, the offering releases what belongs to you. When you get paid, the tithe belongs to God. It's not yours. Say it's not mine. It's not. But why did God give it to you? Because he wanted to teach you to be generous. Unfortunately, giving the tithe is not the generous part because you're only returning what belongs to him. But it's a muscle that needs to be exercised. Hear God. Hear God. Hear God. Hear God. It's like, God, if it's yours, why don't you just take it from the beginning? Because you're not going to learn if you do that. When I was a kid, we used to go to Catholic school. Five of us were sitting in church, five of us. 7-year-old, 6-year-old, 4-year-old, 3-year-old, 2-year-old. All five of us sit there, military style. We weren't, my dad wasn't in the military. He just whooped us. Kneel down, get up, kneel down, get up. And then my mother would give us a penny, literally. There was an envelope you could put a penny in. A nickel. Anybody remember that? Y'all don't know. Y'all, do you even know what a penny is? That's the question. I need to go back. A penny, a nickel, a dime, and if you were doing it, you got a quarter. And if you were doing it, you got a dollar. Your money folded and jingle. Y'all missed that. We were learning to give. So, here's the thing. This is the resources God blessed you with. This is your tithe. Goes into the church. That was never yours. This came from here, but it belonged to God. That's the tithe. That goes to pay the lights, do the bills. He says, if you do that, then we'll take care of the building. We need more of y'all to do that, by the way, so we can do the things we need to do on a basic maintenance level. But then when you have an offering, that's where you do this. Watch the green. By the way, this is green. Can I get amen? Someone thought it was blue the other day. This is green. Okay, it's green. Green for your money, okay? See the overflow? Y'all see the overflow? That's what happens. That's the offering. And so next week, hey, make sure you tithe, and then over and above that is the offering. The Bible says in Leviticus 27:30, the tithe of the land is the Lord's. It is holy to God. This right here belongs to God. Now, when you get paid, it's in there. God's saying, you're going to keep it or you're going to put it where it belongs. So at the end of the service, you're going to have an opportunity. We're going to take you through the sheet we gave you, and you could decide, you know what? I want to go from giving something or nothing. I want to be a tither. We talked about 9% of us tithing. We want to get to at least 25%. Can I get amen? And thank you for the ones who have been signing up for that. So Leviticus 27:30 says, all the tithes of the land, it is the Lord's. It is holy, set aside, belongs to him. Deuteronomy 16:10, this is the offering. It represents relationship. Then you shall keep the Feast of Weeks, or Pentecost, to the Lord your God with the tribute of a freewill offering. Say free will. Free. Say free will. Free. From your hand, it's already yours, which you shall give as the Lord your God blesses you. Number one, it's a free will. It's in your hand. That means it is, the ownership is yours. You gave God what he gives, what belongs to him. Now he's saying, I want you to give it what belongs to you, what I've given you. It demonstrates gratitude because it's free will. God, I thank you. I don't feel you pulling it out of my hand. You are going to move on my heart. It positions you for multiplication. As the Lord blesses, as the Lord blessed, he's going to continue to bless. The tithe recognizes ownership. Offering represents relationship. Number three, offerings expand on what God, what the tithe sustains. In this building, we have about, especially all the lights in the ceiling and the lights on the stage, we've probably got, you know, a couple hundred lights. And all the campuses, there are lights all over the ceiling where y'all can see. Those lights are for what's happening in the church. And they're sustaining our ability to have a service. See what's going on, see where you're walking, et cetera. But if we put, which I would love to do, a spotlight on the roof. Remember Batman? They put the bat symbol up in the sky. Y'all remember that? Y'all remember that? And imagine if we had one that said, Jesus, here, right? With an arrow. It's an arrow. So we would take what we're doing here and expand it out there. So the tithe focuses on what's in here, and the offering says, how can we take it out to the streets in exponential form? Numbers 18:21. Behold, I've given the children of Levi. The Levites were a tribe of Israel. There were 12 tribes. One of them was the Levites, and they took care of everything in the temple. I have given the children of Levi, who operated the ministry, all the tithes in Israel as an inheritance in return for the work they performed. The tithe took care of what was happening in the ministry and the work of the tabernacle of meeting. That's inside. The tithe keeps the lights on. The offering sends the light out. 1 Chronicles 29:9, the people rejoiced for they had offered willingly because they were with a loyal heart. They offered willingly to the Lord. Say loyal heart. Say loyal heart. Take a deep breath in. Say loyal heart. Very good. Tithe keeps the lights on. Offering sends the lights out. So with that said, next week we are going to take obviously our regular tithes and our tithe collection, but we're going to say I'm going to bring a special offering to go to those things that you believe God has called you to. Now, I want you to get out this form, if you will. And the envelope is a backup. We're not even gonna talk about that. It's a backup if you lose the form. Just gonna focus on this form right now. Just to be clear, how many of y'all, by a show of hands, say, this is your church? Just raise your hand, really high. Very good, very good, okay. So I'm talking to you. If you're not of this church, listen, we would love for you to give, but I wanna talk to us as a family. God has called this church into existence 25 and a half years ago, so 26 years ago, for the purpose of ministering to people who don't know God. And if you've been here, you know I do altar calls all the time, preach the gospel, that's what we're about. And for good or for bad, that's what it is. And the people who don't know God are the apple of God's eye as well. He says, there's more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than 99 just persons. Okay, it doesn't mean he doesn't like just persons at all. It doesn't mean that at all. But he came to seek and save lost people. So we never want to get settled that this is what it's about. Mm-mm. It's about us coming here, getting encouraged, getting instructed, and then going out, who can I help? Who can I share the gospel with? Okay? Part of doing that is resources to enable us to do that, and also the discipline of you saying, Lord, it's not about me. Because God is always going to call you to do things that you don't want to do. And you have to get used to doing what God wants you to do. Money is a big part of that. Prayer is a big part of that. Forgiving people, all those things make you more like Christ. There's less of you, more of him. I must decrease, and he must increase in my life. This is a big part of it. So I want you to really pray, Lord, what do you want me to do? Remember, this is your offering. God, I just want to do what you want to do. Amen? Okay, so look at the top. It says, I give nothing, something, or tithe. I want you to decide, are you going to move one step forward? Are you going to go from giving nothing to something? Are you going to go from something to tithing? Or are you going to move, I tithe and I'm going to give an offering? Now, you can go from giving nothing and give an offering and say, I'm going to tithe as well. Fabulous. You're just learning this, or you're just making a decision. I'm going to honor God with my money. Great. But make a decision, check one of those boxes or two and say, this is where I'm going. And we're going to ask you to bring this next week. Then your personal information, just so we know who you are and how to get in contact with you. Then what is your faith offering? Are you going to give a one-time gift? How much? You're going to give a weekly? How much? You're going to give over 12 months? How much? And then to the right, are you going to make a check, debit, out of your savings, checking account? And then the next two options are the information we need, whether it's going to be a credit card or a automatic debit. And then lastly, I want you to sign this. But the main thing is that I want you to pray, Lord, speak to my heart. We're all going to pray here in a minute, a prayer together to just posture our heart before God. Lord, what do you want me to do? I will tell you, anytime you pray to God and God tells you to do something, you do it, it's a growth experience. Because the definition of loving God is obeying God. And the frequency and the speed and the completeness of how you obey God is a direct measurement of your Christian maturity. Your maturity is not measured in the information you have. Your maturity is not measured in the information you have. It is completely measured in the obedience to the information you have. So this is one of those times. So if you pray and God tells you nothing, then good. But if you pray and God says, listen, I want you to first tithe, he's already said that in his word. You don't need a special revelation from heaven on that. Just do that and watch what God does. Always watch what God does. I was talking to a buddy this morning, Dustin, sitting over here, and he was asking me, how do you know God's voice? Is it like a ton of bricks, or is it loud? And I said, nope. And I put my finger on his shoulder and just pushed him like this. Just like, watch this. That's it. God's not going to shout you down. He's going to say, psst, psst. Hey, I want you to do this. I want you to start tithing. I want you to give this much for your offering. That's it. And you either trust him or you don't. He's not going to bully you. I yell because I'm loud. I'm from New York. God just goes, hey. And by the way, if you don't do what he says, then obviously, okay, you missed out on the blessing that comes with doing what he says. We have a little house here. I don't know if you see this house. Get the cameraman on the house. See the house? Heart for your house. These are for the little kids. They're going to put money in these little slots to give when they give as well. So we got the whole church participating. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to say a prayer. We're going to say a prayer together out loud. And then my pastor's going to come out on all the campuses after I say amen and close us out. But I want you to take this home, pray about it, and come back next week ready to give. We're going to take the offering. We're going to collect it. Or if you put it on your credit card, then that's fine too. We're going to collect your sheet so we know what your pledge is. But pray this with me out loud. Everyone bow your heads, close your eyes, and pray this with me out loud. Say, dear God, thank you that you have always provided for me more than I deserve. You have been more faithful than I deserve. You have provided for me and my family. I acknowledge that everything I have belongs to you. So I humbly ask you, direct my giving, stretch my faith, guide my steps. Give me the faith to honor you and your purpose for my life. Show me what to give, Lord. Your word says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. My heart wants to please you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, come on, come on, come on.